Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of 7-Minute Scaling Secrets. Today I have a very special guest. His name is Omar Zanholm, the host of the $100 MBA podcast. Really excited to have him here today. Omar, thank you for being here. Please tell us a little bit more about yourself and your podcast.
This episode was brought to you by Super Scaling. Join our free Launchpad community today, where we've created a valuable space that has free content on how to scale your business and where we bring together entrepreneurs just like yourself. You learn how to systemize and super scale your business so that your revenues can grow to at least $100,000 a month with a productive team from all over the world, raving fans as clients and happy founders who have true freedom. Visit superscaling.com/launchpad today. And now back to the episode.
Thanks, Alvin, for having me. It's great to kind of share my story with your crowd. I started the $100 MBA show back in 2014, so a little over 8 years now. And I started this podcast because I felt like there wasn't any business podcast that just give you a small bite-sized lesson that you can learn and implement right away and then come back the next day to learn some more. So it's a daily, 5 days a week business podcast, short form, about 10, 15 minutes long each episode. And our goal really is to help people along their journey as entrepreneurs. When I started as an entrepreneur over 20 years ago, it's very lonely. It's very hard to do this on your own. You have a lot of doubts. You don't know what works, what doesn't work, if this is the right strategy or path, sometimes these things you can't learn in books, like how to fire an employee or how to use limited funds for your marketing, things like that. So we try to teach that on the podcast and help people along their journey.
Wow. I am a fan of your podcast as well. I listen into the episodes, and like you said, it's very bite-sized, which is great because you get like lessons in 20 minutes, which is perfect for a commute or if you're waiting in line. And that's something that I really appreciate. But your podcast is a daily podcast. I know how hard it is to create content. What made you decide that you could commit to a 5-day-a-week schedule?
There are two reasons why we decided to do daily. And the main reason is because we wanted our listeners to be able to get results in a short period of time so that they can see that this podcast is actually helping them in their business and their growth. And it's very hard to get results if you don't have consistency, if you don't have some sort of momentum as you're learning, as you're growing. I felt like if I worked on my business once a week or I learned something to improve my business once a week, it wouldn't be enough for me to feel like I made progress within a month or 2 months. So I really wanted to create this momentum of great information, of great strategies and tips that they can implement right away every day so they could feel like, okay, this is actually helping me in a big way. And that really helped us grow the podcast because people started to listen to the podcast, implement the stuff that we're teaching, and then write us a review saying, this podcast changed my business or helped me get off my feet or, helped me quit my job and start my full-time business. So that's the first main reason why we wanted to make it daily. And I decided to commit to it 5 days a week. The other reason that maybe not all people know about is that I was fully aware when I started back in 2014 that I'm not that great. I'm not great as a podcaster and I need the reps. I need enough episodes under my belt to get better quickly. So if I wanted to, let's say I felt like if I did 50 episodes, I could feel a little bit more comfortable in front of the mic. 50 episodes, if it's a weekly podcast, would take me a year to get to the point where I feel comfortable with my voice. With a daily podcast, it's more like 2 months because it's 5 days a week. So I felt like it would fast track my ability to be able to be a better communicator, be able to be a better podcaster, better presenter, be more entertaining, find my own voice as a creator and as a podcaster. And I just wanted to get as many episodes under my belt.
Oh, I love that. I think volume is one of the most underrated things that people can have. And that's, giving you the progress, whether it's like podcasting, business, fitness, even. Volume, that's all it takes, man. Putting in the repetitions, putting in the reps over time, and mm-hmm. Those are the two elements that you can control. So either you compress time like you said, or you have it a bit longer. At the start, it must be really difficult though. Were you doing all the episodes yourself?
So my business partner and wife, Nicole, and I started the podcast together, and I was doing all the content creation, the curriculum, planning out the episodes, recording it. And Nicole was doing all the production. She was doing all the editing, all the post-production, you know, putting it up on our website, you know, doing the show notes, all the stuff, you know, that takes and doing all the marketing as well and all that kind of stuff to make sure the podcast was being shared. But, you know, we did that for about, I would say, the first 350 episodes. So about a year and a half in, which was great because we knew exactly the whole process and the whole system of creating a podcast, so that when we hired or made our first hire on our team, which was an executive assistant, we were able to easily coach that person and train them to do the task because we know how to do the task. We've done it 350 times. So that was really helpful to be able to know it. Obviously, it was a lot of work because it's a daily show, and it was a big risk for us because obviously, if we're working on something, we can't work on something else. So that opportunity cost was there. But we made a good bet. And I think that, you know, it was great to kind of learn all those skills. And now, even till this today, you know, 8 years from now, if something happens, an emergency, somebody's sick, both Nicole and I are confident we could jump in and help out if we need to.
That's one of the best forms of leadership, I feel like, in terms of business, that the business owner actually knows the processes inside and out, right? One, the best form of leadership is to know that your leader can actually do the job that you're doing. Yeah. And that really sets a great leader apart from somebody that may not be that good.
Yeah, and I just to piggyback on what you're saying, Alvin, it's really hard to run a business that you don't know how to create the value in the business itself. So say, for example, you own an art gallery, but you're not a great painter or artist. You're kind of hostage by the artists to give you great art. If you don't have great art, it's very hard for you to run this gallery, right? But for example, if you're a great chef and you open up an amazing, you know, 5-star restaurant, okay, even if you don't do the cooking yourself and you have a chef, a main chef that does it, if there's anything you need to do, if the chef is doing something wrong or if you need to step in, you can just step in and show them this is how you're supposed to do it or this is how you correct. You can coach them through it. And it's not going to make or break your business, meaning that you can always save your business because the secret sauce, the real value you're offering your customer is in your control. You don't want to be in a business where you don't have control over delivering that value.
Yeah. Control is one thing. Knowledge is, and awareness is another as well. Sometimes if the business owner doesn't even know if the product or service is good, that's not a good business to be in, right?
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, I think passion, purpose, proficiency, those are all attributes that a business owner needs to have and embody so that it can permeate through the organization. So cool. There must be ups and downs of this journey. It's been 8 years now.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about, everybody knows the ups, but tell us a little bit more about the downs. Like, are there times that made you feel like, you know, this wouldn't continue or this wouldn't work out?
This is a good question. A lot of people don't know. So I look at entrepreneurship as, you know, a big picture goal. Like, I want to be a successful entrepreneur. I want to be able to have, freedom in my life, whether it's time or finances or just the autonomy to work on what I want to work on. So that's kind of my main goal. And I kind of tell all the people that I work with, people I teach on the show, that you have to understand that's really your goal, is to be a successful entrepreneur. How you get there, right, is going to change over time. You might have one business that won't do so great. It doesn't mean you failed because that business failed. It means that that's just not the way you're going to get there. You might have to find a different way to get there. You're going to start another business. Maybe you're going to have a different product, change your pricing, tweak things around. So for me as a podcaster, a lot of people don't know this, but I had a podcast before the $100 MBA show that totally flopped. It failed miserably. And I learned a big lesson through that failure so that I can have the $100 MBA show. So I kind of see the whole journey and not just say like the $100 MBA show. So part of me creating the $100 MBA show is to have that failure. If I didn't have that failure, it would be very hard for me to create the show, because the reason why we realized the podcast failed is because it was an interview podcast and I was not really leveraging my strengths. And this is something I teach a lot is that you have to look at your own unique experiences in life, your own personality, your own characteristics, your skills, your strengths, and think about how can I leverage my strengths with whatever I'm doing. And I wasn't doing that with my first podcast, which was a interview podcast. And we tried our best and it was great. We had some great guests on and met some really interesting people. But on a great day, we would have like 400 downloads an episode. That would be like the best episode we had. And it really wasn't moving the needle for us, you know. In comparison, the $100 MBA show gets 125,000 downloads a day. So it was like we were able to get to that growth. But the point is that what's the difference here? And the big difference was that I am not great at interviewing. That's not my skill. In my first career, I was an educator. I was a teacher for 13 years. And I realized I should be teaching on the podcast because I'm probably a better teacher than the other business podcasters on, you know, the charts. You know, they might be best-selling authors or might have big brands, but when it comes to teaching, I'm probably better than most because I have a master's in education. I did it for 13 years. I have all these certifications. I know how to do this. So, and I know how to be able to break down complex ideas into smaller chunks, into smaller understandings, because that was my job. My job relied on the fact that I had to get these students to understand this information and pass the exam, or I'm going to look like a horrible teacher. So for me, I realized, oh man, I got to leverage my strengths. You know, when I was having this discussion, this brainstorming, why we failed the first podcast with Nicole, my partner and my wife, another thing we realized is that, you know, we're not going to do well if we're just another Me Too podcast or a podcast that just does the same thing as everybody else. And we realized, you know, how can we differentiate ourselves? Well, what if we just did short lessons instead of discussions or interviews or banter? So that's kind of what really helped us, is that failure is just realizing, okay, this is not working. Why is it not working? Well, maybe if we did this and use our own skills and experiences to our advantage. You know, business is hard as it is, right?
Yeah.
So why are we making it hard on ourselves by not using our strengths? So that's my advice. And that's one of the downs I had. I could have quit podcasting there and there would be no $100 MBA show, but I realized, okay, maybe I need to do something different.
Oh, I love that. That is, in essence, I think what entrepreneurship is about and what entrepreneurs need to have, that level of self-awareness. That is one of the key strengths that entrepreneurs must have. And it's very easy for people to want to start a business, you know, copying or referencing somebody else. But if they don't know the unique resources, passions, you know, motivations that they have, it's really, really hard to compete with somebody else's business. And people just see things from the surface and imagine that they'll be able to do something like that without going through that process that you talked about. I think that self-awareness journey and knowledge of all the strengths that you have is absolutely key. That doesn't just apply to podcasts. It applies to general business. In fact, you can actually take those concepts and apply it to your own lives as well, in terms of your personal life, your relationship, and so on. Amazing. When did you actually hit your first milestone in the $100 MBA show? When do you know that it was starting to take off? When do you know that it was something that finally was working?
It's an interesting question, because when we started the $100 MBA show, we were so focused on just making it a great show. You know, it's a daily show. We had our head down, just like producing one episode after the other, trying to make sure that the last episode, you know, the last episode was better than the one before it. And just making sure that the quality was there and I was getting better as a podcaster. Yeah, I was following the numbers and things like that, but I really wasn't paying attention so much to that, because I knew that if I had a good quality show, people would share it, people would subscribe, people will tell other people. So that's really what I was focusing on. But to answer your question directly, it's funny because Nicole and I are friends with other podcasts team, which is the Entrepreneurs on Fire, John Lee Dumas and Kate Erickson, who run that business. And we were actually neighbors. We lived in San Diego and we became friends with them. And one of the things that we remember very vividly is, you know, we would see John speak on stage and present. And one of the things he would mention is that he won the award Best of iTunes, which is an award that people get on Apple Podcasts. It's like the top podcast for that year. And it's like kind of winning an Oscar or something like that in podcasting terminology. And Nicole, my partner, would, you know, she would say, oh, you know, that's awesome that he won it. We should win Best of iTunes next year. And I was kind of like, oh, that'd be great. But like, I can't guarantee that it's going to hard, you know, let's just have a successful podcast. We launched in August of 2014. I believe John from Entrepreneurs on Fire won it the year before in 2013. And they give out the award in December. And in December, I woke up one morning and I started getting, like, you know, congratulations on Twitter and mentions. And I was like, what's going on here? I didn't understand what happened. And we won Best of iTunes from Apple, which is awarded for just a handful of podcasts. And it was really a great honor to be recognized by Apple, which is the pioneer of podcasting, that our podcast was adding so much value to the not only the podcast marketplace, but just also to business in general. And it was just very funny because, you know, Nicole kind of called it back in the day and said, you know, we're going to win it one day. And I was like kind of downplaying it, but, you know, she was right somehow. She had good intuition. Yeah, we won Best of iTunes. And that was the first moment, I think, 6 months in, where I realized, oh, okay, this podcast is actually a hit. I think we're doing well, and I think we're gonna be okay if we continue to improve and grow.
She's like the visionary.
Maybe. I think she just shot for the moon, and we hit it.
Well, that's awesome. Is this what the both of you are working on full time these days?
So a good portion of our time is dedicated to the $100 MBA and the $100 MBA podcast. But I also have another business, which is a software business called Webinar Ninja, which is a webinar software. We also have a new product coming out as well called Course Ninja, which is a live course software. And so a lot of the things I learned through building a software company, a SaaS company, the lessons I learned along the way, the last 8 years of building that business, I share on the podcast. You know, if you want to know some of the things I was struggling with or the challenges I was going through maybe 6 or 7 months ago, probably today's episode is about that. You know, so nice. It kind of gives you a glimpse of real world kind of problems or real world challenges or real world dilemmas or things that you need to get through. And every stage in business is different. Sometimes just getting off the ground and being able to get your first customer is one stage, but also there are problems with you when you start growing a team and you have employees and you have, you know, a lot of expenses and revenue. Those have its own challenges, and those need addressing as well.
I see. And how do you figure out the best programming format for your show? How's it like right now? You have 5 days still. Mm-hmm. The 5 days are all lessons that you give. I know you have guests as well. How do you split?
Yeah, so we have basically themed days. So 5 days a week. On Monday, every other Monday, I do an episode called Must Read, which is basically I love to read books. I feel like books are probably the best value in terms of, you know, dollar for dollar value you're getting when you buy a book in terms of what you learn and the insights you get. So I like to read as many books as possible. My goal is to read at least 50 books a year. So some of these books are great. Some books are not so great. The ones that make it to must read are the ones I actually recommend to my audience. So I kind of filter out, you know, what works and what doesn't, and what's the best book to read in that situation. So on Mondays, we do must read episodes, every other Monday, I should say. On the alternative Monday, we will have either a guest teacher episode where a guest will teach a lesson of their expertise, or I will do an extended interview where I'll interview people to just learn a little bit more and extract the lessons from them and share it with the audience and kind of teach through that kind of methodology. Tuesdays is a straight up lesson on a topic. Wednesday is Q&A Wednesday, where we answer a question from one of our listeners who email us in. A lot of these questions are very relevant to most of our listeners, so it's quite useful for everybody listening. Thursday is another straight lesson. And Friday, we do Free Ride Friday, which is a way for us to help promote the show, as well as give away a free ride to one of our programs to one of our listeners to, you know, encourage them to listen as well as to participate and be part of our community.
Nice. How did that come about? How do you figure out, in terms of programming, what will work for the show, what will work for the audience?
Yeah. So the first thing I started with is, where can I add the most value? Right. A lot of people think about, like, oh, what am I passionate about? What do I like talking about? Really, I thought about, like, where are the areas that I feel like I can provide the best information for my audience? Because at the end of the day, when somebody listens to your podcast, they're asking, what's in it for me? right? Like, what? Why should I keep listening? What's great about the show? So if I can't give them a real good reason to keep listening, a good valuable reason, then there's no reason for me to even do the episode. So that's why I chose the must-read episodes, because I can add the value. Most people are going to read 50 books a year, so I'm doing that for them. So it's actually quite valuable for them to hear, you know, a good summary and a reason, some of the insights and why they should read it. Okay, I get it. This is worth reading just from those insights that Omar shared. I'll pick up this book and read it. So that's quite valuable, you know. So I thought that segment would work in terms of value. You know, I thought about Q&A Wednesday because I know that I get a lot of questions from our own community. And a lot of these questions, you just can't find a book about this question, right? For example, somebody said, you know, I have to fire one of my family members that works for me in my company. How do I deal with this situation? I have to see them on Thanksgiving. Like, what do I, you know, or Christmas or whatever it is, you know? So these are questions that are, one, they're interesting, but also might apply to a lot of people that are working, because a lot of people do hire family members or close friends and want to know how to deal with that. So I thought that was quite applicable. And also, for selfish reasons, I love Q&A Wednesday because it allows me to know what are people struggling with? What are the problems and pain points our customers are having? Or our listeners are having. I call them customers because, you know, I know that it's a free podcast, but they're still giving me their time and their attention. So I want to make sure that I'm covering topics that are important to them, you know. And a lot of this is experimentation. I experimented with a lot of different segments we never do anymore because it didn't work so well. We also survey our audience quite often. At least once a year, we ask them to fill out a survey, and they go ahead and give us answer some questions to help us inform the programming, but also what kind of sponsors they would be interested in, and, you know, maybe some topics that I can't cover, I can bring an expert to bring in and cover for them. So yeah, that's a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Right, I love it. I love the fact that evolution happened. It's just like the development of any product, I guess. It changed over the years, and you took in feedback, you looked at what was creating value, and you just amplified or reduced whatever wasn't working.
Yeah, and I like to look at other examples in media. You know, one of my favorite shows is Seinfeld. And, you know, I grew up on Seinfeld. And
I love that show.
Yeah, and if you look at the first few seasons, it's totally different from the rest of the seasons because they had to work out the kinks and work out ironing things out. Like, even the characters, like, Kramer is a very strange character in the first season. He seems like a hermit. He never leaves his apartment. It's weird. That didn't work out. They changed it up. He became a little bit more of a popular character. They had to change his character. So they worked through it, you know. They tested out characters, and some of them became longer-term characters, like Newman, the guy who's the mailman in the building. First, he was just like kind of a character that came in once in a while, and then they saw the reaction from the audience, and it was a good character, and they started building his own story arc and his own episodes and things like that. So, you know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You know, you can look at things that you love and you consume and say, how can I kind of apply that to my project?
Right. Again, I think that self-awareness is absolutely key for entrepreneurs to go through that process, to be able to start that process. Tell us a little bit more about yourself in terms of your personal life. Like, where do you see this going? What's your personal vision and motivation behind all these entrepreneurial pursuits?
That's a great question, because I think sometimes people think that you have to have some big vision, like I want to cure world hunger, or I want to, you know,
go to Mars,
or I want to, you know, change the financial system. You know, like, I'm a big believer that you can have very average goals. It's okay for you to be like, I want to be a entrepreneur so that I can have more time with my family, or work on my hobbies, or have a chance to be as healthy as possible. Or maybe even just, I want to be able to retire early. I'm going to sprint and work on my business for the next 10 years so that I can retire when I'm 50, whatever it is. For me personally, I like the challenge of business in a lot of ways. I feel like one of the gifts of entrepreneurship is the journey itself, because it forces you to become a better person. It forces you to be more resilient. It forces you to problem solve, to just up your game, because I'm a big believer that your business will basically grow as fast as you grow. So if you become a better person, you become a better entrepreneur, you skill up, those skills will translate into your business and you'll be able to start making some changes. But so that's one thing. I like actually enjoy the journey. I enjoy it. But of course, you know, I'm doing this for personal reasons too. I want to be able, one of my goals in life was to win a gold medal in the Olympics. I played basketball when I was younger. But now that I'm 42, that's something that I thought was never going to happen. I'm now going to train to be in the World Master Games, which is like the Olympics for people that are over 35, older people. So in order for me to do that, I need to have a little bit more time. So one of my goals before I get to 45, where I can compete, is to start delegating more and start building my team and be able to have a little bit more time for myself. I am a big believer that entrepreneurship can be a vehicle for you to live the life you want. Maybe you love to snowboard and you want to do more snowboarding. Maybe you want to spend 3 months out of the year in Thailand and you want to pick up surfing or whatever it is. And entrepreneurship can allow you to do that. But just know what you're going for so that you can build your business around those goals. Not every business is built to do anything you want. You know, if you're going to get funding and have, you know, venture capital, all that kind of stuff, you know, it's harder to do that because you obviously have to answer to your investors. So you just got to make sure that you know what you want and to build around it. And it's okay for you to not know what you want. It's fine. I know that sometimes I think that people don't realize that by just working through your business, by creating great products and great things for your audience, you're able to kind of learn about what you want out of life, what you enjoy. And sometimes success is just a good enough reward, you know, just to be successful, to see your customers succeed. That's great. Most people in the world are looking to do that just in their jobs. I want to just do a good job at my work and be able to get promotion. And in business is no different. So I hope that answers your question, but I just wanted to make sure that people know that, you know, you don't have to try to save the world in order for you to be, you know, ambitious or a successful person.
Thanks. I'm a big proponent of that as well. And I love the fact that you mentioned it. And I love the definition of success that you gave. Success, I think oftentimes people see it as personal success, but sometimes, actually most of the times, the most successful businesses are the businesses that provide the value to others and, you know, allow their customers to have success. That in turn creates a successful business. And I think once people have that mindset, that's something that's going to keep them in good stead. For myself as well, the business that I created and ran started off as a place of responsibility. I felt responsible for the customers that I served, for providing a great product or service to them. And that kept me going. And that translated into more business growth, which then I think gave people that was the typical definition of business success. But it only came because of the success of my customers, not because I wanted success. So I think that's an important differentiation that entrepreneurs need to understand and truly like embody. Well, I'm cognizant of the time and I really want to thank you for your time on this episode. I loved the insights and the tips that you shared. I hope the audience also enjoyed themselves and got a nugget or two from the sharings that you gave. Omar, just in case people don't know you or your show yet, what is the best way for people to get in touch or listen in to the $100 MBA podcast?
Sure, Alvin. So if you want to learn more from me, you want to get better every day in business, just search the $100 MBA podcast on any podcast app you're listening to right now. Hit subscribe and listen to a couple episodes, see if you get something out of it. If you want to learn more about the $100 MBA, you can go to 100mba.net. And you can learn more about some of the programs and some of the things that we're doing to get businesses to scale and to be able to hit their goals.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Omar. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening in. Don't forget to like, comment, share, subscribe. This has been another amazing episode of the 7-Minute Scaling Secrets Show. I look forward to seeing you guys on the next one.